All right, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 tonight. And we will continue a series we've been going through. But I wanted to tell you all about this first. One day, a newly ordained pastor was asked to officiate a wedding for a couple wanting to get married in the church. And so he agreed. And as this was the first wedding he was to officiate, he wanted to reach out to other pastors and ask them, you know, how do I do this? What should I do? How should I go about this? And he was advised by another pastor that he knew that if at any point he forgot his words, then to just quote Scripture and everything would work out fine. That sounds like good advice, right? Well, on the day of the wedding, everything was going well. The music was beautiful. The vows were spoken clearly. The candle lighting ceremony ran smoothly. It was just great until the pastor that was leading it forgot his closing remarks. And thinking back to what he was advised to do, he decided to quote Scripture. Well, without having practiced this ahead of time, all he could think of was, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." All right. Amen. So that's why sometimes you need to practice what you're going to what you're going to have memorized and quote as well, all right? Exodus chapter 15, if you found your place, say amen. Amen. All right. And we'll read verse number 26. Exodus 15, 26, it says, "And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for a house that we can come to today. We thank you for a beautiful facility that you've given us, a beautiful building. Lord, is it your house, and we want to take care of it, and we want to do it honor and justice as we come here today to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for the good fellowship that we've had already this evening, the good spirit that's in your house. Lord, I pray that you would continue that through the preaching, that we would remain excited, that we'd remain in touch with the service and with your word. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here today that does not know you as personal Savior, that, Father, they put their faith and trust in you today. Lord, we thank you and praise you for all that you're doing here at Grace of Calvary. Lord, the different ministries that are flourishing, the different areas of our ministry that you are growing. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we continue the things with the museum and all the different things that go on here. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight we continue our series looking at the names of God. And I hope you all were paying attention to the first messages because I'm going to ask some questions. All right. Our first message was on the name. What name was it on? This was a while back, so I'm not going to. I won't blame you. Jehovah Jireh. All right. You get a candy bar. No, all right. Jehovah Jireh. And what is the meaning of Jehovah Jireh? God will provide. Good. Our second message was on the name Jehovah Rohi. All right. Someone's got their notebook out. And meaning God is our shepherd. All right. God is our shepherd as he leads us. All right. The following two messages in the series were on the name. This one should be easy. Jehovah Shalom, meaning God is peace. God is peace, or God is rest there. All right, and so tonight we look at the name of God mentioned at the end of our text verse when it says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." That name there is Jehovah Rapha, the God of healing. And now as we kind of pivot here, I want to look at something else. Fanny Crosby was one of the world's most profoundly influential American hymn writers. And lived a rather difficult life. As many of you would know, she was completely blind. This was due to medical malpractice at the age of 6 weeks old. Her father also passed away while she was still an infant. And when she was an adult, her only daughter, Frances, passed away as an infant as well. She lived a tough life. She had ups and downs, yet she always used her conditions and circumstances to grow closer to God rather than to become bitter. Most notably, she wrote the hymns, "Blessed Assurance, To God Be the Glory," "Rescue the Perishing," "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." The list goes on and on. But there's another hymn of the thousands that she wrote that I dare say many of us have never heard before. The name of this hymn is "There is Healing at the Fountain." Anybody heard that? There's healing at the fountain. It's mentioned in two hymnals. It's only ever been in two hymnals. I don't know why, but it's called "There is Healing at the Fountain." And the words to this song she wrote, "There is healing at the fountain. Come and find it, weary soul. There your sins may all be covered. Jesus waits to make you whole. Oh, the fountain, blessed healing fountain, I am glad 'tis flowing free. Oh, the fountain, precious cleansing fountain, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me." Though she lived a life of physical blindness, she understood that God was a God of healing and that He also had the power to heal spiritual blindness. And she put her faith and trust in Him. And so with this, let's jump into our first point as we go to Mark chapter 10. Go to Mark chapter 10. And we're going to look at somebody who had the same condition she did. In Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. We're going to look at the man by the name of Bartimaeus. So number one, the God of healing, Jehovah Rapha. All right, He is the God of healing the soul, the healing of the soul. In verse number 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side, begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.'" Here's a man who has an issue of blindness, physical blindness. Now here in the passage it says that he heard Jesus, it says in verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth." Now, I don't know how he heard. I don't know if people were shouting Jesus' name. I don't know if it says that there was a great multitude there. Maybe they were all talking about the miracles that had taken place in Jesus' ministry. Maybe those were the things they were speaking of. But somehow, he heard that Jesus was passing by. And perhaps those people were saying his name, as I said. Perhaps they were whispering under their breath about his miracles. But somehow he knew that this was Jesus. And he knew that Jesus could do something for him. And there was a day that somehow we knew that Jesus could do something for us. Spiritual blindness that the Lord healed us from and allowed us to be saved by His grace. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 2, it says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Before you were saved, you had a worldly vision. You had a worldly sight, which is blindness to the things of God. It's blindness to what God wants for you. And then one day you heard Jesus. Jesus spoke to you. His Holy Spirit reached out to you and He wooed you to Himself. And you may have heard from others about Jesus. Maybe you heard testimony. Somebody said, "Man, you really got to get in church. You got to come to church. You need to get in a good church and listen to God, because He has something better for you in this life." Maybe you heard testimony of the things that He had done. It's interesting if you look, and I've heard it mentioned this way before, but in verse 46, how many people's names are mentioned there? How many people's names are mentioned in verse 46? Two, right? Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. But see, you have this Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Timaeus means highly prized, valuable, or honorable. But here's Bartimaeus, the blind man. In the Bible, in this time period, Bar would mean the son of. And so he's really just the son of Timaeus. That is what his name is. It would be as if Caden was just called the son of Jonah. That's it. You know, he doesn't really get a name. He's blind and he is a nobody. And so we're going to say he's just Bartimaeus. He's just the son of Timaeus. He's not the highly valuable one. He's not the highly prized one. He's not the honorable one. He's just Bartimaeus. But he was known not only by that, just not even having really a name, but he was known as blind Bartimaeus.
They had to add something to that and say he's not just Bartimaeus, he's blind Bartimaeus. He was known by his condition. And there was a time when you were just a poor, begging, blind sinner in need of a Savior. Don't forget that. Don't ever allow that to go in your Christian life and you forget about that. Don't forget how great a salvation you have received. He was offered healing, and healing for us is offered because of Calvary. In Psalm chapter 22, verses 14 through 18, I'll read through these quickly. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. A picture of Calvary. My heart is like wax that is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked hath enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. There are a few ways, as I've highlighted here, obviously that the Lord endured so many things on the cross as he went through the Roman scourge, as he went to Calvary. But and notice it says in that verse, as I read, they pierced my hands and my feet. That's what I want to look at, my feet. There are a few ways that his feet may have been pierced. And I've read a lot of things on it. I'm trying to get exactly how it was, but it doesn't exactly tell us. We understand that his bones were not broken. We understand that. So there's a few ways that that could have been done. There could have been overlapping of the feet, and then one nail would have pierced through the joint, and it would have gone through into the wood of the cross. That is a possibility. Or something that was more common, actually, was that the legs would be straddled around the cross and that the heels would be pierced into the cross. You don't ever really see that in pictures. They don't picture Christ's crucifixion that way. But that was a very common way of doing that, is that the heels would be pierced into the cross. And, you know, I like to think that it may have been the heel that was pierced. Because remember who we're talking about in this message, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Well, guess what? In Genesis 3, 14 through 15, it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent," he said unto Satan, "because thou hast done this," that he has beguiled the woman, that he has caused her to stray from God's truth. He said, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." And here it is, "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." I think that I have a God of healing. He's going to defeat. He's going to defeat Satan. Amen? And he defeated him at Calvary. There's nothing Satan can do now. There's nothing that Satan could have ever done. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as he allowed and he gave us a way of healing our soul, a way for us to be saved at Calvary, he also provided a way of healing for Satan. He's squashing that head. He's bruising that head. He's saying, "No, you're defeated." I can't wait for that day when he's cast into the pit. I can't wait for that day when we get to reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and at the end of that we get to see it's all over now. I don't have to worry about feeling bad about sin anymore. I don't have to worry about going to God and saying, "Lord, please forgive me because I did it again." I don't have to do that anymore because God is going to defeat Satan. He's going to defeat him once and for all. So we have the God of healing. He provided healing for our soul. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions; he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Because he was wounded, we can be healed. And so he's the God of healing for our soul. Turn to Exodus 15 again. I should have just told you to keep your place there, but Exodus 15. All those things are hindsight's 20/20, and you don't think about it in the middle of your message, and then you don't end up preaching it again. And so, so keep your place in Exodus next time you hear this message in 20 years. All right. So if we see that he is a God of the healing of our soul, but then number two, he's the healing of the spirit. I'll read. I meant to turn here myself. Psalm 34:18. It says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit." The healing of the spirit. In Exodus chapter 15, we read verse 26, but we'll read verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They were in a desperate situation. They found no water. It says they went 3 days without the... Here, they have left Egypt, which as we know, church, Egypt is a picture of the world. And he had begun their... they had begun their spiritual journey here through the wilderness, also looked at many times as the Christian life, as we go through the wilderness of this world. And so they find themselves in desperate need of water. Dehydration can set in roughly 8 to 12 hours. Doesn't take that long. And kidney failure can set in anywhere from 24 to 48 hours without water. It can happen really quickly, really quickly. Imagine being out in the desert. Imagine being out in the wilderness, and you're there, and you have no water, and it's for 3 days, and you get through day one, and you're thinking, oh, man, we're going to have to come across some water here soon, and you get to day two, and you got your children, your 2 and 3 and 5 and 6-year-olds running up to you saying, Mom, why can't we just have some water? I need some water, and you have to explain to them, hey, there is no water, and they can't understand, and then you get to day three, and you say, Lord, surely you have to give us some water now. Moses, he's wondering, where is this going to come from? We just have to trust God. And in Psalm 42, 1 through 2, is there a time in your life spiritually when you're in the wilderness when you're just begging, Lord, please give me some water. I need some healing. I need some time. He leadeth us beside the still waters. He gives us to the green pastures. You know, sometimes people, they get upset when they feel like they've reached some sort of a plateau in their spiritual life, or maybe in their ministry, they feel like, man, I'm just kind of at a plateau right now. Hey, heal for a little while. Let the Lord keep you in that green pasture by the still water for a little while. There's going to be more uphill. There's going to be more time that you're going to be weary, and you're going to be weary and well-doing, and you're going to keep working. But hey, enjoy that time of healing. But here in the wilderness, this verse, it says, is the heart panteth the deer, the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Have you ever gotten up on a Sunday morning and said, Lord, I got to have something today. I have to have something today. Lord, please, I've got to have something to go on today, something from you that will help me. Lord, I'm going through this time and you know about it and I need to heal. The God of healing is there. He wants to give you the water. He healed the water there at Marah. It was bitter water. And there were over probably 2 million children there, children of Israel, as they're going through the wilderness. And Moses, as an older man here, not really old yet, but as he's in his middle age, older, getting older, he has to throw this tree into the water. Well, it couldn't have been, you know, some... huge tree, right? Physically, he has to get this tree. And it says a tree in the passage. The Lord points out a tree to him. And he goes and he takes this tree, could be 4, 5, maybe 6 feet tall, small around, whatever. And he throws that in the water. And it just took that one little difference God made to make it all better, to make the bitter water sweet. You have to come to church sometimes desperate for that healing. Healing in your home, healing in your relationships, healing in your heart, healing your brokenness, as that verse said, he is nigh unto them. Pastor mentioned drawing nigh, right? This morning, nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. You know, Patty and I, as we take the boys around and we've gone to doctors, especially Grayson when we were first starting out, we have some ways that we're doing things that not every doctor is going to say okay with, and I won't go into much detail, but it has to do with some vaccines and all that stuff. And so we had to find the right doctor for us and that fits our needs there. And you know, as you go around and you've been to doctors and different appointments and things and specialists, they'll ask you this question. Do you have a primary care physician or a primary care doctor? They'll ask you about that. And it occurred to me, you're saved. I got a primary care doctor. I have a primary care physician. The great physician, the great healer. Hey, when the doctor says, hey, there's going to be no hope, you got 6 months to live, I know a great physician. I know somebody who can help me. I know somebody who I can call upon and ask for help, and he can heal me. He can heal me. There's only one who can sweeten the bitter waters of this life, and his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, Jehovah Rapha, the one that can heal those bitter waters, those bitter times in life as you're going through the wilderness. But then number three, his healing is sovereign. As God heals, as he decides to heal in different areas, he heals the soul once we're he saves us from our sin. Praise the Lord for that. And then he can heal our spirit day to day as we go through different things and we get discouraged, and he can heal our situation. But you have to remember, his healing is sovereign. Let me give you a scenario. Sally, like many others, has seen God work miracles. She has watched him work in the lives of many people around her and has always prayed for others' well-being. She has tried to be a help to the church and has tried to follow Christ with her life. But now she has received bad news. She has but 6 months to live. She begs God for healing. She begs God for more time. Her thoughts and intentions are noble. She wants more time to serve God. Yet no healing comes this side of heaven. You know, that's one of the difficulties of the Christian life, is we serve a God that we can't understand. And we don't always understand his sovereignty when it comes to healing. There are times where we ask and we beg God, Lord, please heal this situation, heal that. And maybe sometimes the healing is by the way of the grave. And it's up to God. But sometimes we question that. We've been through that. Many Christians have. Perhaps you've lost a child. Perhaps you've lost a parent. Perhaps you've lost a spouse. And you ask God for healing. You ask him for that, and you ask him for more time with this person, and you ask him for him to perform a miracle. But the healing never came. Best I can tell you is you trust God. You trust God through the difficult times. Patty and I, 3.5 years ago, she and I, we got married, and we were living there in South Carolina. And she gave me some news. It was a great evening. I had gone up. Actually, that evening had started with, she told me that I was going to be a dad. And I thought that was great. And then I believe it's that same night I went out in the woods, right? And I went and shot a deer. I was like, man, what an evening. And then she helped me string it up and do all the stuff we had to do. And so it was a great evening. Well, a little time went by, and a little time went by, and we ended up losing that baby. It was a miscarriage. And at the time, you ask God, why? Why? And it wasn't really even, as men, y'all may understand this, you're not even asking why for yourself. You're asking, why my wife? Not why me, Lord. Why my wife? And you ask for healing. And you ask for things to go well. If any of you have been through that before, you know how it starts. And you ask, Lord, please, hey, take care of it. You can heal this. You can make it right. And then it doesn't happen. And you wonder why. And there's a poem I wrote. I don't have it up here with me after that situation. And it basically went along the lines of, when sin is not the problem, it's not sin that's keeping you from getting through to God. It's not sin that's keeping your answers or God from answering your prayer the way he wants. It's his sovereignty. And he decides. And you just have to trust him through those times. Obviously, since then, we've got Caden and Grayson. Our hands are full. My hands are full, and I don't even do anything. But you see, God, he's sovereign. He understands far greater than we ever can. And he knows. And so, you ever think about Paul? He never received healing from the thorn in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, it never was taken from him. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. It's going to be sufficient for you. You just have to trust in me. And you may think of times where God didn't answer your prayers the way you would like. But all we can do is trust the God who can heal. He is Jehovah Rapha, and he can heal any situation. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not saying don't ask God. Hey, Moses, he's the one that cried out to God for Miriam and said, Lord, please, heal her of the leprosy. Please take care of this for her. And God, if you remember, he left that conversation with Aaron and Moses and Miriam. He left that kind of angry. It says, and the Lord left, he was angry. And then Miriam had leprosy. But Moses cried out to God and said, Lord, please heal her. She only had it 7 days. And so we have that right and that opportunity and that command to pray for one another and to pray for our situations. Think about Hezekiah and all the different people who prayed for healing and God gave it. But you also have to be willing to trust God when His sovereignty goes outside of our understanding or our desires. So tonight, reflect on that fact that God healed you from your sinful state. Remember, you have Jehovah Rapha by your side at any time to help you through the bitter pains of this life, and trust Him and His will as the great physician. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Perhaps tonight you should come to the altar and thank God for healing your sin-sick soul. When was the last time you went to the altar and said, Lord, thank you for saving me? That's all you did. You just came down. You didn't ask for anything. You didn't ask for help with anything. You just came to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. If you haven't done it here at the altar, maybe you do it at home. And you say, thank you for saving this sin-sick soul and for healing me, something I could have never healed myself. Or maybe tonight you should come to the altar and thank God for healing your brokenness of heart. The Lord has probably brought you through many hard, hard times. Very difficult times where it wasn't just a broken heart, it was that broken spirit. It went deeper and He healed you of those things. Could it be tonight that you've been struggling with trusting God's sovereignty and His will when it comes to this healing? Whatever those things may be tonight, the altar is open. But also, if you're not saved tonight, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, if you're not 100% sure, if you have any doubts at all, you can know tonight. You can know that you're going to heaven when you die tonight. So if every head bowed and every eye closed, if anyone here this evening can say or would say, I do not know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven if I was to die, if you would just lift up your hand and say, I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. I don't know if God has healed me of my sin-sick soul. We know that in Isaiah 53, he said, with his stripes we are healed. Only by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone and what He did for us on the cross can we be healed. Can we be healed? If you're not sure tonight, please come and talk with me. I'll be down front during the invitation, or you can talk with our pastor, or you can talk with a gentleman here at the church and ask them, how can I be saved? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for loving me enough to send Your Son to die for me. Lord, the things that He went through on that cross we can't understand. Lord, the things that He went through for us we'll never understand. But Lord, we thank You for healing us. By His wounds, by His stripes, we can be healed. Lord, I thank You for healing us through our broken times. I thank You for being the God that is there to heal us and wants to heal us. But Lord, I pray that You would help us to trust You even when we don't understand why You wouldn't heal. Lord, help us to trust You through it all. And we'll thank You for it. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Everyone stand and take your hymnals and turn to number 588. 588. And as I said, maybe tonight you haven't thanked the Lord for your salvation in a while. This is a good place to come down here and pray. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for what He's done for you. As we sing on number 588.